I arrived at the mansion broken. A month earlier, I had bitterly parted ways with my longtime lover. I never wished to say his name ever again. And this was my first time emerging into public since then. I'd had enough moping. High time to see if I could get at least a little human contact. The invitation bore my ex's name. It had been accidentally tossed among my things as I was packing and left the home we had shared. He'd received invites to these parties for years, but he'd never take me. He said the people here were nothing but sycophants and leeches. They couldn't give me what I needed. So we'd never attended. But with him out of the picture, I decided, why not? I parked my car, fingered the invitation, and checked my makeup in the mirror. The invitation said this was a masquerade ball, and I had picked out a red and black outfit with a skirt that had a slit that went mid-thigh. My half-mask was adorned with colorful feathers and pretty, glittering birds. It covered the top half of my face, leaving my dark lipstick shining in the car light. I checked the time, 9 p.m. on the dot. Fashionably late, I steeled myself, then almost turned the car on and drove home right then. Was I really ready for this? I felt the loss of the past month well up again, and tears threatened to wet my mask. We'd been together for so long. I didn't want to admit that I missed him bitterly, but I did. So much, so much. Gathering my courage, I got out of the car and examined the mansion in front of me. It was an elegant building that just reeked of old money. Tasteful exterior lighting revealed several fountains, and strains of classical music came from inside. This was supposed to be some sort of scene party, the kind you read about online. I hoped to see all kinds of interesting costumes, perhaps something that might get me excited, make me feel something again. The invitation said there'd be some sort of dance as well. I love dancing, or at least I used to, long ago, before him. I approached the entrance in time to see the doorman check the invitations of a couple. They were dressed in expensive and classy evening clothes, a tuxedo for him, a beautiful white gown for her. They both wore full gargoyle face masks, but they were more beautiful than grotesque. I felt suddenly severely underdressed. My hands were shaking. I felt so nervous. And something else. Not scared. Not exactly. Like this was some sort of betrayal. Doing something for myself like this. Something he'd never permit. For my own good, he'd say. The doorman watched my hesitation and cleared his throat politely. His mask, some sort of black bird, showed his eyes appraising me dispassionately. I handed him my invitation. He asked me if I was attending alone, and I couldn't summon the words. I nodded. I entered a house of delights. The interior was suitably luxurious, expensive-looking furniture and decorations everywhere, with obvious thought given to where people might play. And there were many people present in various stages of undress, restraint, and arousal. I smiled at some of what I saw and a lot of what I heard. A butler in a bear mask and little else offered me a platter with a variety of non-alcoholic drinks. I'd heard that everyone was expected to be sober at these things, and I was glad to see that it was true. I declined, my attention drawn to a pair of large double doors that were ajar, revealing the source of the music. I crossed the room, nodding politely at those that greeted me, intent on seeing if this next room was the ballroom. I peered through the partial opening, where I saw people whirling in the dim light and shadows, a classical dance. I didn't recognize the song, but I enjoyed its rhythm, and I felt my feet start to shuffle along the crimson carpet. I ached to dance, to sweat, to feel the air rush past my face. I wanted to be held and twirled more than anything else. The door swung open, startling me from my reverie. The music blared in my face, and the couple from earlier strode out like they owned the place. They brushed past me, laughing at some in-joke. I hated them for being so happy while I was so miserable. Again, I almost left, but the sound of feet on the dance floor, the melody of the song, drew me in. Maybe I could find a dance partner quickly and then leave. I'd come so far. Didn't I serve at least that much? I entered the ballroom and was immediately swallowed in darkness. It was a lot darker in here than I thought. A miracle that I didn't trip on anything. The room was barely navigable. Colored lights slowly changed with the music. I found a spot along the wall to watch the crowd and see if I could find someone to dance with. As I scanned the crowd, I heard a musical voice next to me. "Good evening. You must be new here." My breath caught at the sight of him. He was taller than I. In a tailored tuxedo with a half mask like mine, only instead of birds and feathers, his had fur and bat wings. He must have been wearing contacts. His eyes gleamed red beneath the dimmed lights. He looked a little sad, this handsome man. His shoulders slightly slumped, a frown on his face. He was so different from my ex. Oh, wait. Why was I thinking about him at a time like this? I offered him my hand. "Yes, it's my first time. What's your name?" He stood up straight and took my hand with his gloved ones, gently pulling me towards the dance floor. I found myself unable, unwilling to resist. He whispered, "No names. Tousled, bird mad girl." I don't know how I heard him over the music, but I did. We went to the center of the floor, and the next song started. Again, I did not recognize the song. It went on forever. And this man gave me exactly what I wanted, what I needed. For me, it was a dance of pain, of release, of grief. I could sense something from him, too. His red eyes devoured me, and his body movements were well practiced as we danced. The crowd disappeared from my sight. I only had eyes for this creature. As the song ended, I stumbled for just a second and accidentally pulled off one of his gloves. He caught me, and I noticed his hand felt very cold. I covered it with mine and looked up at him. I nodded, though at what and why, I don't know. His eyes flashed wide with surprise, then closed. His voice whispered, "Are you sure?" It was my turn to pull him away. He was very strong. I could tell that from the dance. But he only made a half-hearted tug, allowing me to cling to his cold palm. I held fast, hoping that he didn't want to hurt me. Not that way, at least. We found ourselves in a dark alcove, the kind you hear about at these parties, with a thick curtain to shield from prying eyes and a wide, deep, comfortable, covered bench. I went to touch his face, and he flinched. I saw his teeth for a moment. "Are you?" I couldn't finish the question. "I am," he said. I couldn't peg his accent, but I could listen to him all day or night. I asked him a question. "Are you going to hurt me?" I dropped my gaze to the floor as I moved closer to him, wrapping his arm around me. "No," he replied quickly. Then he whispered, "Yes." He paused, licking his lips quickly, a pained expression on his face. "I am hungry," he said. I met his eyes, but he glanced away. "Can't you just take what you want?" His voice was stern, and I knew I was his. "No," he said. "No taking. Only if you want. There are rules. Dark places to avoid. Dark places to explore."
"Oh, oh, oh, oh." I kissed him. He was cold, but it was the best kiss I've ever had. That tongue, I wanted it all over me. But slowly, it had been so long since I felt like this. If I ever had, and certainly not with a stranger, and this man was stranger than most. Our mask disappeared, as did his gloves. I felt his razor-sharp teeth. How badly would they hurt? I enjoyed a little biting. Maybe they'd feel good. He was so cold. He kissed me, his hands going everywhere, exploring my hair, my neck, my breasts, my hips. He let out a small appreciative moan as I parted my legs for him. His chilled hands resting on my thighs as we sat in our little alcove. Then he stopped and looked towards the dance floor. And then he spoke. "This will be better for you, for me, if I can drink some first. If you allow me. There are rules. You must use your words." I turned his head to me. standing in front of him, bringing his mouth to my neck. And I said, yes. I don't remember that bite, that pain. The next thing I knew, he was on top of me, warm, smiling. The sharpness of his teeth was gone. His eyes were blue, and he was beautiful. He kissed me and brought his mouth to my ear. You taste like someone that needs this, to give of themselves to heal. You can give yourself to me if you want. I know you so well now. I can help you forget him. Oh. I moaned in answer, and suddenly this man's expert touch was all over me. He gripped my hair with a strong hand, and he kissed me like a man dying of thirst, and I was the only drink left on earth. He started removing my clothes and needed no help, lifting me like I was nothing. My dress slipped to the floor, and he laid me down on my stomach on the bench, his hands massaging me from my neck down, lingering on my ass. I lifted my hips, and the first smack resounded loudly, sending pain that I needed. He spanked me again, and again, and again. Time seemed to pass so differently around him. He switched hands, experimenting with how the smack sounded in the alcove, how they matched my moans and squeals. My teeth gritted at times. I needed this so much. This pain, this giving of myself was cleansing. I could feel the memories of sobbing alone in the dark this past month fade, or at least lessen. I needed this so much. When I was satisfied, how did he know? He turned me onto my back, my ass burning delightfully into the fabric. He looked down at me, at the healing tears streaking my face. I must have looked afraid, but he didn't seem to care. He smiled again, and his eyes looked kindly at me. His face moved closer to me, and that's when I felt his hands on my panties. His hand slipped into them as we kissed, and I moaned, oh, as he caressed my slickness. My breathing quickened as he kissed my neck and ear, as his deft fingers found my clit. They circled softly, just the right pressure, and I could hear my wetness. And I was so turned on, easily coating his fingers as they moved on my sensitive spots. I could smell my pussy in the air, and pleasure made me squirm and writhe under him as he continued to kiss me, my breasts now. I felt his mouth on one nipple, warm fingertips on the other, and his fingers entered me and curled upward, making me cry out loudly. Oh! How did he know exactly what to do to me? What I like? Oh! I felt my legs tense involuntarily, and I was grabbing at him wherever I could. He made me feel so good. I clutched at the back of his head and the hand on my pussy, at the cloth underneath me. He sat up, bringing a second hand to play, and I groaned. Oh. As I felt him finger me and tease and pleasure my sensitive clit. And I shut my eyes and gripped the bench tightly as groans and gasps escaped me. Oh! 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 I felt myself get close under this onslaught. My breath paused and hitched as I felt the orgasm start. My legs shaking. My breath paused and hitched as I felt the orgasm start. My legs shaking. I cried out.
Oh!
A series of screams.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
That should have reverberated through the whole mansion.
Oh!
Oh, the pleasure. The pleasure was so intense as it claimed me.
Oh.
Flooding me from head to toe, but most of all where he touched me. And I felt my pussy clench and pulse on his fingers.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Then it was over. And I felt my whole body relax. My heart pounding. Out of breath. I think I heard him chuckle, and I found that I couldn't stop smiling. I opened my eyes and looked at him as he licked and sucked my arousal from his fingers. He never stopped looking at me. As my heart slowed, I looked him up and down. "You're warm now," I said. "And breathing?" He nodded and let loose that musical voice again. "Yes, for a time after I drink. Thank you so much." He gathered my clothes from the floor and placed them near me.
"Wait," I said, "what about you? Can you?"
I looked down at his feet, and I could feel rather than see his smile. My answer was another fierce, passionate kiss, accompanied by the sound of a belt buckle clinking and fabric being shifted as he unzipped his tuxedo pants. He pulled back, sitting up, considering. I touched my face, biting my lower lip. What would he want? What would he need? I felt a little lightheaded, but I didn't know if that was an effect of the bite or of my orgasm. He seemed to reach a conclusion and stood. As I watched, his hands started to move in a blur, and his clothes quickly and neatly fell away, folded nearby. We went from fully dressed to naked within a moment, and I gasped in wonder. My lust was momentarily forgotten at the display until I saw his body. It was perfect. From my dreams, even. His pale skin almost seemed to glow in the dim alcove light, and I found my eyes drawn to his arms and chest. He sat down and gestured me to him. I sat up and we kissed. My tongue surprised to find those sharp teeth again.
Oh.
Eagerly, I reached for him, my head tilting as we kissed, to get a look at his cock. My hand grasped at his rigidness, and I let out an involuntary moan. Oh! His cock fit in my hand quite naturally, and I imagined it stretching me with a delightful fullness. He moaned very softly, and then he broke off the kiss. I started to ask him what he wanted, but stopped when he guided me to my knees in front of him. There must have been some pillows stashed under the bench, because I landed quite comfortably on a pair of them. I looked up at him, and he licked his upper lip around those fangs. I nodded and got my first good look at his cock. Oh, it was beautiful, as sculpted as the rest of him. I reached forward to touch him, and I felt him give a slight gasp as I gently caressed him. He was still colder than I was, but not uncomfortably so. He seemed almost hairless from the chest down, skin like porcelain. He smelled lightly of cologne. I wondered what he would taste like. When I felt his hand on my cheek, encouraging me to get closer, I grasped him with one hand, jerking slowly, and brought my lips to kiss his head. I glanced up to see him smiling down at me, eyes drilling into mine with need. I made sure to watch him as I took him slowly into my mouth, savoring his flesh. He groaned, and he shut his eyes, putting his arms behind him to prop himself up, allowing me space to enjoy this. And he tasted strange, just a faint, coppery essence to him. He didn't show or tell me what he wanted. He just groaned and gasped as I started the blowjob in earnest. I decided then and there that this cock had to be mine, that I needed him. He had said he tasted my grief, and the weight on my heart had lifted. I hoped this would please him, convince him that this might not be some casual encounter. Tears started to flow as I thought that the pain might return. I felt his hand touch my face, wiping, and he brought a damp finger to his mouth, and I moaned, and I pumped him faster, adding my hand to the efforts, and I felt his legs stiffen, and I saw his eyes close. Keeping my pace steady, I felt him begin to shake, and heard him mutter in some language I couldn't understand. His taste abruptly changed, a coppery tang. He wailed in pleasure and put his hand on my face as he started to pulse. Reflexively, I started to swallow repeatedly and moved him to the back of my throat. Abruptly, he let go and gently pushed me away. A serious but content look on his face. I noticed he was not out of breath, and his flesh started to cool even more. He spoke to me. "Thank you," he said sincerely as we dressed. My mind raced. "I must see you again," I said. "What is your name? How are you here at this place? Is this how you hunt?" He zipped up the back of my dress, and his gloved hand clasped me from behind. He whispered, "You must go. It is not safe for you to stay the rest of the night. You will sleep long and well. You may not return, human, unless you are." And then he chuckled, invited My heart sank. And then he continued. My doorman awaits nearby. He will see you to your car. I pleaded with him. I must see you again. I need this. I need you. I can't stand to be alone. Please. He put a gloved hand underneath my chin, and I stared into the blue eyes behind the bat mask, and he smiled. Do as I say. Now go. The drive home was a blur, and my sleep was very deep and long, more than 15 hours. When I woke and made myself some breakfast, I noticed something out of place at my front door. My heart raced as I picked up a small red envelope. An invitation.